Blog Talk Radio.
Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Well, good evening and welcome to Walls in Our Minds. This is Terry Dodd. And I see my co-host, Red Beckman, is online with us. Red, how are you doing tonight?
I'm surviving.
Just surviving? I feel like I'm just surviving, but I got a feeling you mean something different than that.
Oh, I don't know. I just, it's been a long day, and there's just so much happening, and it's just absolutely impossible to keep up with everything that's happening. I just had a chance to glance at our local paper here, and it's just propaganda. They're not newspapers anymore. They're just propaganda instruments for the government and for the special interests. And it's too bad, but that's the way it is.
Well, Red, would you like to open us with a prayer?
I can.
Please.
Heavenly Father, we come to Thee. We feel totally inadequate without Your help, without the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and without Your laws and Your guidelines for living. We wouldn't be here. We would be lost. We just thank You because You have reached down and touched our minds and our hearts. You have installed within us a love of truth. You said that anybody that, if you've received a love of truth, you're going to survive. You're not going to be perishing and such as so much of the world is doing around about us, because they have not received and accepted that love of truth that You would have each and every one of us to have so embedded in our hearts and our minds. And so as we go into this program tonight, we just pray that Your presence, Your inspiration would be very much a part of this program, of these 2 hours. Help us that we might not say anything that would be displeasing to You. Help us to say things that would glorify You, and let the world know that we have a testimony, that we are witnesses to Your power and Your wisdom. And we just thank You now for this privilege that we have of speaking on this blog radio and reaching people out there, and hopefully we can dispense truth in this next 2 hours. We can do that with Your help, and we just thank You for making that help available to us. We thank Thee now for this opportunity, and help us to be a blessing. We thank Thee now in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Red. Red, I was cynical 2 years ago, but all the research that I've done now and things that I've learned over the last couple of years has brought me to a place I'm not comfortable with. I'm not comfortable with not trusting. And it's becoming more and more difficult for me to trust anybody walking on this earth anymore. Even inside the Patriot movement, there's so much infiltration and people with their own agendas. And like J.B. Williams wrote about in his article, we have enemies within. But now to understand that the courts are completely corrupted, to understand that our media is completely corrupted, our newspapers, anything on a television or cable, you can't believe, entirely what you're being told. I mean, you kind of have to pick through and have a gate that lets the good in and keeps the bad out, and that's a real challenge every day. And I'm watching what's going on in this election cycle, and the degree to which these people will go to absolutely demonize anybody who represents truth. Never a truer comment than what Ron Paul said about truth being treason in the empire of lies. And that's what we live in. We today are living in an empire of lies. And when you see somebody attacking somebody on a personal basis in this political campaign, you can just about bet that the person that's doing the attacking is, first of all, worse than the person they're attacking, and that most of what they're saying is a lie, and it doesn't matter which side of the aisle they're on. It's just really it's frustrating for me, because I know that you need to be able to trust in order to, to have any kind of joy or contentment in this life, and it's very, very difficult. Red. Who's your red?
Yeah. The mail, I've never seen the mail so full of political stuff. And there was one, and it was an expensive mailer to put out, but it was put out by the people that the women's lib type of material. We have a gal, she was a state legislator, and she's running for an open seat in the U.S. Congress that has been held by a Democrat for 7 terms, and of course he got, the heat got too much for him in the kitchen, and so he decided to bail out. Because we had those town meetings here last year, and people just ate him alive, and he decided that he couldn't stay in there with that kind of heat on him. And of course, this gal that is running against him, and the Democrats, of course, have put a liberal Democrat, a longtime political activist in Olympia, Washington. They put him on as the Democratic candidate for this same district. But this was not promoting his candidacy as much as it was trying to destroy her, because she has very outspoken. She's been very outspoken. I think she's just something like 34 years of age, but she's been very outspoken on how that the Roe v. Wade decision has to go, and of course in this election, this promotion thing that we got in the mail is just absolutely utterly false, and I couldn't believe what I was reading, how that they were just desperately trying to, go after this young lady. I don't know anything about her politics. I'm new in the area, and I don't know that much. But when I see this kind of political garbage being put in my mailbox, I just I have to speak out, because it's just absolutely uncalled for, and from what I have been able to sense across the country, is that if Roe v. Wade were put up for a vote by the American people, it would go down and it would crash and burn. And I think it's time for that to happen. But the poison that is being put out there, and of course some of the listeners on this program will remember when I brought out the connection between the abortion issue and the immigration, the illegal immigration thing, because what they have done is they have murdered our workforce in this country with the Roe v. Wade decision. And that's why we've had all these illegals come in to fill that vacuum in the workforce, because they have murdered. They tell me it's now somewhere between 50 and 60 million people that have been murdered in the abortion clinics in this country. And so the same people that are promoting citizenship and voting rights and Social Security and welfare and medical care and all of that, the same people that are promoting that for the illegals are the same people promoting Roe v. Wade and abortion rights. And so there's that connection, and I wish somebody would put that out in a political message that got into everybody's mailbox. I wish that that were to happen, but it probably won't happen. But anyway, it's sad, but we are so inundated with that which is false. It's going to take a lot of truth to break that hold on the American mind.
Well, Red, you know, the last few weeks, we've had experts on the show, or, you know, they claim to be experts or have done a lot of research, and they've come on and they've talked to us about ways of basically unenslaving ourselves under this de facto government, and especially they've talked about ways of reversing the adverse effects of the 14th Amendment. And I thought it would be appropriate tonight for us to have someone come on who's actually been walking the walk and actually, you know, doing this and having the courage to take these actions like L.B. Bork spoke to us about last week. And so I've invited an old friend, an old fellow that came on here on our show a number of months ago, R.J. Poteet. And R.J., do you have a live mic?
Yeah, can you hear me, Terry?
I certainly do. Welcome to Walls in Our Minds. And I think you have spoken once or twice before with Red Beckman, so you guys might want to get acquainted. But R.J., you heard what I just said, I hope. We'd really like to have our listeners be able to have a sense of what's involved in going through some of these processes that some of these folks that have done all this research have come on here and been telling people they should go about doing. And, you know, you're one of the people that I know of, that one of the most courageous people, honestly, that I know of. And that, I don't mean to toot your horn, or I'm not saying you're any kind of hero or anything like that, but I'm, you know, I certainly respect the fact that you have actually taken the actions necessary, according to what you believe, in order to stand up to this de facto government and to try in every legal way that you can to put yourself in a position of living as a free man. And so tell us, if you will, a little bit about, you know, kind of what you just kind of give a general thing of what you've done and kind of why, what provoked you to go to that extent.
Well, the reason I've done this is basically the beginning of it was what you guys were just talking about, and that was the murder of the unborn, these illegal and unconstitutional wars, and the murder of the Iraqi people and the people in Afghanistan that have done nothing to us. And I had to withdraw my consent. I couldn't support this in any way. And I had to bring myself out of it and withdraw my consent. And I read the Red Amendment, and I went to a seminar of L.B. Bork's, and that his system and his paperwork and everything is basically what I've been searching for a long time. And so I didn't, I've researched a bunch and read a lot, but I did not hesitate. After I heard his seminar, I started the wheels in motion the next day.
Now, RJ, you're what's called a state national.
Correct.
You might want to give the listeners a little bit of an explanation of what that means to be a state national.
Well, a state national is you're not a citizen of the state, or you're not a citizen of the United States, these corporate entities, see? A true national of this sovereign nation on which he was born in, which all of the states at one time were separate and sovereign nations. And I believe all of the state constitutions, I've not read every single one of them, but the ones I've read specifically say that they are separate sovereign nations unto themselves. And so the nationals are the true, I don't know quite how to say it, but the true people of the state from which they were born in. They are not the corporate citizens.
But this is something different than being a sovereign, correct?
Correct.
What if somebody lives in a state they weren't born in? They can still be a state national, can they not?
Yes. A few of the people that went through this process the same time I did were born in another state, and they actually then went through the process twice of notifying their original state of birth, their nation of birth, and then the nation where they live today. So that it was for a national in that situation, it was a more paperwork.
So it was a little bit of a different process then?
Correct.
Okay. Well, how long did it take you to do this? To go through all the notices and putting the paperwork together, you know, how long did it take you to basically get to where you are?
About 90 days, and I never received anything back from the government except one letter from the I'm trying to find it here.
Department of Justice?
To give up your citizenship, you have to the United States, which I am out of the United States. I'm not within the United States.
Well, no, while you're on that subject, while you're looking for that letter, explain what you mean by that.
I can find it, Terry.
What do you mean that you're not in the United States?
The corporation known as the United States, I'm not a U.S. citizen.
RJ is calling in from a kind of a remote location, so his phone service is not stellar.
Can you hear me now?
He drops out. Yes, yes, I do now. Thank you.
But yes, I received only one letter back. And they claim you have to be outside the United States to do this. Trying to prove that I'm not in the United States. As if every nation constitution tells you that for sovereign or is this mass possibly known.
You're fading in and out on us a little bit, I'm afraid.
How are we now?
Yes, good.
Okay. So
the
anyway.
The United States, the corporation of the United States, really only has a jurisdiction within that 10 square miles of D.C., does it not?
Yes, and I believe on the military bases and the post offices and the federal courthouses and probably some of the other property that the states have relinquished the feds, they have jurisdiction. But other than that, I believe they do not know.
Okay, so you took 90 days. What did it cost you to do this? If you're talking, I'm not hearing you at all.
About now, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know. We ought to do this a different night when I'm in a better spot or something. But
well, we'll try it for a little longer and see how it goes.
Okay. But, yeah, the reason for me doing this was basically the murder of the unborn. That is, and to withdraw my consent so that the day I meet my maker, I know that I've done everything possible to stop what is going on that I have control of. Can you hear me?
For a little bit, we did not, but I do now.
Okay.
I heard you talking about up to the point of everything you had control of.
Yes, I believe that this is the only way to fix what is going on in this union without violence, I believe.
Now, you've talked about the 14th Amendment basically saying that by voting, we're actually committing a crime because we are basically contracting with and supporting a de facto government. Rather than our de jure government, and maybe that's not exactly what you said, but that's the way I understood it. But what did you mean by that? That the 14th Amendment talks about when we vote that we are in fact breaking the law?
Yeah, the 14th Amendment, Section 2, tells you that the right to vote shall be denied, except for participation in rebellion or other crimes.
You faded out again. I heard in rebellion and other crimes. but we're not hearing you at all now. Red, have you...
I'm here.
I know that the 14th has not been something that you have spent a lot of time on, but do you have anything, any knowledge of what RJ is talking about with regard to the 14th stating that your vote is to be denied except in the case of rebellion?
To me, the 14th Amendment is such a confusing Democrat document. It's a document that historically has been it's been a major question about its, whether it's authentic and all of that for so long. And it's, these questions are all legitimate. And of course, what I have discovered over the many years that when people go through these processes of trying to cut their ties to the government and such. Sure, I've seen some people that have been able to, you might say, extricate themselves from the monster. But I've also seen where people that have done this become a target. And if you become a target and you have gone through these various maneuvers and rituals and paperwork and such, if you've gone through that, they will use that paperwork and they'll use that evidence against you. And they can construct a criminal charge against you, whether there's a criminal act or not. It doesn't make any difference because you live in a tyranny. And I think I said it last week, one definition of a tyranny is when good men go to jail. And of course, you see... the people that do this and aren't on the voter list are not available then for jury duty. And so you have to give up. You have to give up some things, and nobody wants to talk about those. I've found that if you want to more or less isolate yourself from most of the society and such around you, you do these kind of things because the word gets out that you're some kind of an oddball or something, and they just think that have gone off the deep end. And, of course, so much depends on whether this individual is a very productive individual. In other words, if the individual is productive in business, in kind of business or another where they're successful, I can assure you, if you go this route, almost 100% chance that they will fabricate charges against you, and you're going to face a jury that is so easily manipulated and all that you're just a sitting duck is what you are. And I'm not all that excited about all of this. I've been around it now for 35 years and because the 14th Amendment, as I said earlier, it has been a point of contention and such for all these years, ever since that it was attached to our Constitution. And, of course, I'm convinced that it was attached unlawfully. and that it's a total fraud perpetrated on our Constitution and on our country. And so I do not go into the 14th Amendment to protect my God-given rights, because I just feel that the document wasn't put together to secure my rights. It wasn't put there for that reason. And so that's a different slant, perhaps. But if there's something that has been attached to that Constitution that does not secure, that's not intended, the intent, what was the intent? It wasn't, the intent was not there to secure my God-given rights, and therefore it is not a legitimate amendment. It's a fraud perpetrated on the Constitution and the American people.
I believe RJ may be back on with us. RJ, I know your phone line dropped. Are you back live? If you're back live, we're not hearing you. Nope, gone again. So his phone line dropped again. We're getting some comments like, that the 14th is a part of the organic Constitution, and I would certainly take exception with that. I suppose it might depend on what somebody's definition of organic Constitution is, but to me, the organic Constitution basically ended with the 10th Bill of Rights. Red, would you argue with that?
I'll listen here for a bit and let you develop that. I'll get a better idea what your thinking is.
Well, they were a part of the initial ratification of the Constitution itself. In other words, the states would not ratify the core part of the Constitution in the absence of the Bill of Rights. So they basically were the first 10 amendments were basically ratified together with the core part of the Constitution. And from that extent, I would consider them to be included as a part of the organic Constitution. And particularly anything that works against our republic. And I certainly would not consider any amendments subsequent to that to be a part of the organic.
So I would agree with that. Yes, I would agree with that. I wasn't sure exactly where you were going with that, but the track record of the different attempts to amend the Constitution. The track record has been pretty sorry bunch of people that came up with ideas, and of course the missing 13th Amendment, they let it drop through the cracks and all of that, and of course people have no comprehension, because it is not taught in our public schools. It's not taught in our universities and colleges how that the original Constitution, of course, was destroyed when the copies of it when the British burnt Washington D.C. in 1812. What we have is not the original Constitution, and of course they didn't call it a Constitution. It didn't the Constitution that we basically honor and hold up and enforce in our country at this point wasn't really accepted until about 1846, And that was, it was a growing period. That was a period of our American history that people just don't know anything about. You've got to just absolutely just thrilled to death when you think about the fact that here were quite a number of people up in the millions, not a great many millions, but there were millions of people in this country who, they were put into a position that very few people in history have had the potential of establishing and creating and enjoying liberty to a degree that probably never before in history had been, available to the common people. And there were a tremendous number of mistakes that were made back there, starting with the ink that hadn't even dried in 1788-89, and of course the Bill of Rights was attached in December of 1791. And there were just so many things that happened there, and of course a lot of it was problems created by agents of the monarchies in Europe. The monarchies in Europe, they understood what the founders were trying to do at the Constitutional Convention in 1787. They understood that those people that had collected there, those delegates from the 13 states, the 13 individual nation states, they were there and they were trying to create a political system where there would be that sovereignty of the individual, not the sovereignty of the state, not the sovereignty of a king or whatnot, that they were interested in bringing that system, the political system that we had, or the potential. They wanted to, the people, they wanted this liberty. They wanted this freedom. And everything that the masses out there did in those formative years was in that direction. There was a lot of education going on. We had quite a constitutional crises there in between 1830-1850, and there were over 600 little handwritten, for the most part, newsletters that were coming out of the woodwork in this country, and they were being circulated amongst the people, explaining how that we, the people, were going to be free, and the government was going to be our servant. And I'll tell you, it was a major switch. These people had all their upbringing and such in Europe. If they came from Europe, there, of course, we had in the 1800s, we had a lot of people born here already and had never been in Europe. But they were all conditioned by the European monarchies and how they ruled, and how there were tyrants over there, and people come to this country to get away from that. And so I really don't understand why people put the effort, the energy and such into all of this research. I think it's fine to do the research, as I've said many times. It needs to be documented. This research needs to be recorded. so that it becomes a resource for researchers in the future and historians, so they can more or less determine the mindset of the people at this stage of the game in this country. There is a total 180-degree turn. What we have today in the mindset of the American people, it's 180 degrees off from the mindset of the people in the first 50 years of our country. Because back then, they knew what liberty was, and they knew what it was to have individual rights secured. And or at least they knew the principles. And so today, the American people have been just so dumbed down about our history and what liberty and freedom is all about. Remember the guest that we had here a couple of 3 weeks ago that wrote the book, The Illusions of Freedom? I think that
Martin
was
Babbitts.
It. Why?
Martin Babbitts.
Yes, and I want to see that book because I think he hit the nail right on the head in this country. People think they're free because they were told they're free. But when you ask them if they're afraid of the IRS, they'll say, oh, I'm terrorized of the IRS. Well, you see, you can't be afraid of the IRS and be free. And you're just kidding yourself, and you're swallowing the propaganda line, hook, line, and sinker. And so,
Red, let me interject a little bit.
Yes, go ahead.
I believe that there's legitimate arguments on multiple sides of this, and I recognize the way that you've gone about things, but I haven't found anybody that can say 100% for sure this is going to work to take me out from underneath that position where you're under the sledgehammer, if you will, of this false god, this de facto government, or its quasi government entities like the IRS, which is apparently not even under the government; it's under the IMF. But the point is that we continue, most of the people continue to pay taxes, continue to live in that fear, continue to pay money that's going to be used for these abortions, continue to pay money that's going to go into the pockets of these international bank lords who are taking basically 100% of the income tax is paid, and it goes to pay the interest on that fraudulent debt. So this is continuing on, and the hole, instead of us digging out and getting rid of the shovel, we just keep digging ourselves deeper and deeper and deeper, and by continuing to vote in this system, we are in essence sustaining and voting for the de facto. We're not even voting for de jure people who are serving us. We're just continuing to prop them up and give them the right, or at least the power, if not the right, to continue to enslave us. And we see now that this de facto is in a runaway condition. So these people who are saying they're wanting to rescind the adverse effects of the 14th Amendment and to put themselves back into a position of being able to be able to claim with this open and notorious notice, and by putting these various entities on notice, and by removing themselves from these contractual positions, because all of the courts now are private corporate contract law, in order to remove from that jurisdiction, they feel the necessity to back out of and to remove their consent from every one of these contracts with this de facto government. And they believe that that's the only way that they can lawfully, even within the laws that have been rammed down our throats that are really not even constitutional, But even using those laws against them, since it still is a voluntary system, that by doing that, by going to that extent, then they truly are in a position where it will die a natural death if enough people did it. In other words, if enough people, if we were to reach a critical mass of getting enough people to take this step, to go through these notices and to remove themselves from these contracts, then they have given an open and notorious notice that you do not have my consent. You don't have my consent to abort those babies. You don't have my consent to pay the wealth of the people of this state or nation to these international bank lords. It's basically drawing the line in the sand, really, and a rigid line in the sand, not a hypothetical line in the sand that says, here's my boundary, you don't have the right to cross it. So from that perspective, I at least have a tremendous amount of respect for these people who have the courage and the gumption, you know, to go to this risk, because there's a risk that this police state will step all over them because there's not enough of them yet.
Well, I
hear what you're saying about the productive people, people. But these are people that are productive people. This guy, this R.J. Poteet's a productive man. He's one of the he's a highly skilled tradesman. And some of these others, there's people in our chat room right now that are highly skilled people who are very, very productive, that are going to the extent of doing this because it's the only way they know to truly remove their support for this system. I'm going to be quiet for a little bit and let you jump in here.
Well, you know, I have seen this, over the years, and I've seen, innocent people going to jail. And because this criminal government will not hesitate one bit to fabricate evidence against you. And, we've got people serving over 20 years because they were considered such an enemy and such a threat to the Federal Reserve Bank system, but they had to get them locked away. And the charges against these people were so fraudulent. But when they came to trial, I know of one situation where the defendants in the trial weren't even there. They weren't in the courtroom. They didn't get to see their accusers. They were in a federal prison, a federal medical prison facility, having an evaluation, they said. And because they can do anything they want to do because it is a false god, and they will do as they please. Now, I can't remember ever voting for somebody that won. Never. I always said, well, I'm going to go vote. I want my name on that voter list. I'm going to go and vote, but I am not going to win. I'm not going to vote for somebody that is going to win because I don't want any responsibility for his actions or his what he tries to do. I'm not going to be responsible. I'll vote for somebody that has drawn a line in the sand or whatever, like a Congressman Ron Paul. Ron Paul wouldn't be serving in the United States Congress if a lot of people in his congressional district decided that they aren't going to vote. This is one of the most ridiculous arguments that I've ever heard is that you don't vote. Now, this is absolutely unproductive, and it's just not, it does not make sense to me. And all of these assumed contracts, I have, you know, the assumed contracts, there's no full disclosure. Legally, you can change every one of them. I mean, I should say lawfully. But they're not going to accept it. I don't care how you oppose it. As I told you, Terry, on the phone the other day, I've had a Social Security card since 1943, I think it was, when I got mine. And I was just a teenager, and I was not old enough to sign a contract. There's no full disclosure with that contract. And that's what all these contracts that they talk about, they're null and void, but you're not going to be able to use that as a defense because they won't let you. The judge won't let you. The judge gets a bounty. If that judge manipulates the trial, when you're on trial, if he manipulates that trial so that you lose, the judge gets paid a bonus. And that's right in Title V of the U.S. Codes that legitimatize that. It's codified right into the U.S. Codes that that judge, he gets a bonus. I call it a bounty. And as long as you've got that kind of a system, hey, You're just wasting your time, and I tell you, people are using. I mean, they're expending their effort, their energy and everything on these things that really the energy and effort should have been spent out here in something more productive, where they're educating their fellow Americans. I could have done this 35 years ago. And more than likely, I would have ended up in jail someplace. But I didn't do that. To me, it looked like a really poor choice, and I still hold that position because I've seen too many people, good, honest, hardworking people. They never educated, hardly ever educated anybody as to how this system was supposed to function, and they've not had an effect. I look back in Montana at the cases that we won in the state of Montana in 1980. The IRS prosecuted five cases, or six, I don't remember now. I'm just kind of forgetful here a little bit. Five or six criminal cases, and they lost them all but one. And it all happened because people went out and educated their fellow Americans about their vote on a jury and how they could use it to control the monster. And, I've seen no track record, whatever, of these people that have gone off on these, I call them tangents. I see no record at all where they have had a real effect on how the system is working. In Montana, after all these years, we're still seeing some pretty fantastic things happening. We had 20 years ago, we had a nurse, a lady who was delivering babies, home labor. Home delivery, and the medical profession went after the county attorney and said, "Hey, you've got to prosecute this gal. She's not licensed and all." And this went on for months, where the county attorney was being lambasted by the medical profession and different politicians and such. And finally, he just held a news conference, as I remember, and said, "I'm not going to prosecute this nurse because I can't win." He knew he couldn't win. One time we had two men that were plumbers, on opposite ends of the state, 500 miles apart at least. They both decided they weren't going to renew their plumbing license, but they continued doing their plumbing. They'd been plumbers for years. And so the state prosecuted them. They charged them with plumbing without a license. And both cases, the prosecution dropped them on the courthouse steps. We can't win these kind of cases because the people are getting wise. Now, how many people out there with trying to get themselves free, have this kind of a track record? It isn't there. And so I'll be quiet for a while.
Well, I wish RJ was able to get access back in here. I know that Kate, I believe, is online, and I'm hoping she's going to come on here shortly and give us a report. I know that she didn't get to say too much last night, but she had Charles Kirshner and Mario Puzo on with her, and I know that she's got a good bit that she could report about that. And I also know that Tallulah, who I talked to about coming and visiting with you, is also around and may very well call in, and she's got some news that she would like to share as well. So I'm hoping that they'll call in. But I'd really like for Dale in our chat room to call in, because he is another one that's been going through this research and going, starting the process to figure out how to retain his rights. And I'd love to have him call in and explain why he agrees with R.J. Poteet regarding this. The vote actually could be considered a crime. If you don't mind, Red, I'd just like to back up and read that section of the 14th Amendment and see if we kind of get the same interpretation that they do about that, because that to me is pretty disturbing. Can we read that and just and see what
go
we
ahead.
What we
go ahead.
It says, representatives shall be apportioned among the several states according to their respective numbers, counting the whole number of persons in each state, excluding Indians not taxed. But when the right to vote at any election for the choice of electors for president and vice president of the United States, representatives in Congress, the executive and judicial officers of a state, or the members of the legislature thereof, is denied to any of the male inhabitants of such state being 21 years of age and citizens of the United States, and that's an important statement right there, or in any way abridged except for participation in rebellion or other crime, the basis of representation therein shall be reduced in the proportion which the number of such male citizens shall bear to the whole number of male citizens 21 years of age in such state. Well, I'd say that paragraph is not particularly clear. That's the first thing I would say about it.
I would say that there's a whole flock of lawyers that wrote it. That's the problem with the 14th Amendment, and that's why, any real well-informed attorney out there and one who thinks for themselves will agree with me that the 14th Amendment is an atrocity, against the United States Constitution and against the people of this nation. And of course, I've said it before. One of our Supreme Court justices was addressing a judicial conference in Hawaii, and this is 20 years ago at least, and it was Thurgood Marshall. he was addressing a whole bunch of judges of the conference, judicial conference, and he said the 14th Amendment did away with the Constitution for the United States of America. Now, that is a U.S. Supreme Court justice. And he is saying that the 14th Amendment, it did away with the original Constitution. You know, that's the kind of quality that we get on the U.S. Supreme Court, I suspicion. There's nothing in the 14th Amendment says that it does away with the original Constitution. It's not there. And this is a matter of judicial interpretation. And that's the risk that we take when we start letting justices of the U.S. Supreme Court, adjudicate cases such as these 14th Amendment things where everybody knows. That 14th Amendment is as phony as can be. I can't see on the 14th Amendment.
Well, there's no question in my mind that we need to be attacking the 14th Amendment. I've come to that decision, and I agree with a lot of the things that you say, Red. I mean, 99% of it I agree with. But I do believe that this amendment that was rammed down the throats of the people by the nationalists, I believe that so many things have been linked to that, tied to that, just like Roe versus Wade, that if we can undo that 14th Amendment, if we can do like the Utah State Supreme Court did with Turner, Dyett versus Turner, and if we can get behind the state of Georgia, who put out the memorial petition that was never responded to, that became law 3 or 4 years ago, if we can make the 14th Amendment go away, it will cure a huge amount of our ills.
We need to figure out how they dropped the original 13th Amendment through the cracks and let the 14th Amendment fall through the same crack. The 14th Amendment has been under attack ever since the day that it was attached to the Constitution. That Utah case, Supreme Court case, is how many years old now? It's back there quite a few years, and it is such a well-done piece of work that the Utah Supreme Court did. But what has it accomplished? What has it accomplished?
Well, it hasn't accomplished much because we've allowed these people in Washington, D.C. To just run roughshod over us and approve whatever they wanted to approve and fraudulently ratify whatever they want to ratify. And we've stood by and we've let this happen. That's why it's not gotten anywhere, because they've ignored us and we haven't had the guts to take a stand against them, and we've allowed their education system to be controlled by these people so that our kids are being propagandized. I was propagandized. You were, and you're 80. What are you, 82 yet?
Just about.
Well, I mean, you said it when you got out of high school. You started to realize they'd been lying to you in school. Well, heck, that was before I was born. And
yeah, we need to start with the public education system, because usually that's a little more within our reach.
But we can't even get them to get rid of this stinking fraud and crime that they call the National Education Department.
Yeah, right. I understand, but you see, I've never said a good thing about the 14th Amendment in all the years that I've been active, and I never will, because I'll continue to say that it's a fraud perpetrated against the people of this nation and against our supreme law, and all, but I can't, I am not going to expend a lot of energy in that direction, because if the Utah Supreme Court decision, which is so well written and so it's just so thorough and all, if that doesn't work, my puny little efforts aren't going to help, aren't going to make a difference either. And so I think there's better areas to work in, you know, we've got to have mass education, not education just focusing on certain people. We've got to we've got to deprogram a nation of people and reprogram them with truth. And so how do we do that? How's the best way to do that?
Red, I think we are past the time to do our break, and
we are
ready to do that. So we're going to take about 2.5-3 minutes here, and we'll be right back with Walls in Our Minds. In Our Minds. This is Terry Dodd. I'm here with my co-host, Red Beckman, and we've been kind of continuing some of our conversation from past weeks about the 14th Amendment and trying to figure out what some of the answers are for making some progress and reversing some of the adverse effects that the government has done to put us in a police state and to enslave us. And I'm really hoping that we can get Dale to call in because he's been making some comments here in the chat room. Kate says she's going to come on after Talu, and Talu's on the phone. Tallulah.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Hello, Rex.
Say hello to Red, can
hello,
you hear
Red. Can you hear me?
He might have taken an extended break. Now, what's this message you sent me about the Democrats hiring some radical tweeter guy to go out there and to undermine candidates, especially Tea Party candidates in the states?
Well, this was broken actually Saturday night on our show. Is that when I told you? Anyway, there's been a big exposure, and it's gotten even bigger tonight. Watch for a report on Gulag Bound. There are people forming, there are investigators that are working on a report now. It was briefly mentioned also by Breitbart today. Basically what's happened is Twitter has been a source of activism from what I've been able to learn, and CJ and I were able to learn, and that it is basically a group of people that are tied with a political group. And so it's very, very new, just breaking, and Gulag Bound is going to be having an expose as well on it very soon.
Now, I'm not really familiar with Neil Rauhauser.
Well, I'm not either. But he was mentioned Saturday night as a source of this organization. And it really goes back, I think, to the way that do you remember back with Mob Watch, with Twitter, when there was all that going on, and the fishy emails, Linda Douglas at the White House was asking people to turn in their coworkers or family or friends if they heard any negative stories about, any untrue or negative stories about the healthcare initiative. I think this is, part two of that, or three or four or five. I do not know who Neil is. I'm not familiar with him. But the researchers,
well, the website that you sent me, theothermccain.com.
Yes.
Robert Stacey McCain and blog sidekick Smitty do that. They've got in there that Rauhauser's firm is called Progressive PST.
Okay, yeah.
And it states in here that the documents include pedophilia-inspired Twitter attacks against children of Tea Party supporters.
Well, there was a lot of nastiness. They were gathering intel, basically, on patriots that were using Twitter as a, this is the story we were told by the investigators. Anthony G. Martin first, I'll go back. Anthony G. Martin first sent a request to CJ and I that he be given an opportunity to speak because he was being bombarded with a bunch of Twitter thugs on Twitter. At the PHNM channel and at his channel as well. Intimidation, name-calling, ridicule, calling him names, making physical making jokes about his physical, his appearance, things like that. And so he asked if he could come on the show to basically speak out about the way this action was taking place. This would have been early September. And so Anthony is a regular guest on our show. So we invited him to come on, and he basically exposed what was going on. His job was being threatened as a writer at the Conservative Examiner. There were people calling up at the Conservative Examiner, threatening, basically demanding that his job be taken from him. And then we also knew that this venture was taking place because we saw it on Patriot's Heart channel on Twitter. It was just daily pounding. And with our friends, and Chalice in particular. And then we knew of someone else, won't name names, but his job was being threatened. He was a blogger, and they had found out where he worked. And so a group, don't know if they're tied to this Neil Rauhauser person at all, but another group, another person, had basically been demanding that person's job, and succeeded fairly well, I think. So there was this project going on to silence people that were against the administration and against the policies. So that took place, and then there, then we had as our guest a whole group of people that were tied the following week or the 2 weeks later, a whole group of people on Twitter that came forward to share their experiences as well. And then most recently, this story has been starting to percolate. And so I know for a fact that, and I'm not involved in the report, so I can't tell you any more about it. I'm not involved in the reporting of it. But there is going to be an article on Gulag Bound regarding this very soon with more information, more details, more information.
Well, when they start going after people's children.
Well, yes. And the idea from what I'm gaining and been able to see, it was in a the idea was to provoke. Do you remember when there was the Tea Party, the NAACP, and George Soros came forward with a whole bunch of money that they were trying to put into a program to hold the Tea Party accountable and other and others who had said anything against the Democrats and against Barack Obama. Do you remember that?
Well, they've made more than one effort at that, and there's been more than one organization that they've worked through to do it, too.
Exactly. And so that was going on the early part of September because, frankly, the Democrats and the White House, from what we know just in the regular media, were very concerned about the tanking ratings and the fear that, you know, the entire House and perhaps the Senate would be overturned. Democrats were fleeing any relationship with the administration, didn't want to have, you know, the big shots from D.C. show up at their rallies, wanted to go more local, wanted to be more involved with the situation at a local level. Things like that were starting to set in early to mid-September. And it's only continued from what I've been able to see. Anyway, there was an effort because so many independents have fled the Obama ticket, the Democratic agenda. So many independents, which they need in order to carry forward on their agenda. So this has been an attempt, I think, to try to pull these people back by accusing the patriots, the Tea Party patriots and others, basically of doing what they were doing. You know what I mean, Terry?
Yes.
So it was an attempt, I think it was an attempt to inflame, to go after every hot button point that a conservative Christian would consider horrific. And they went after, it appears, went after, you know, people that work and are actively expressing their opinions and their through blogs and whatever on Twitter, which I found a website many, many months ago, quite by accident, and it was an article by Umar Haque, who's with the Harvard Business School. And basically what he had said was, it was an open letter to Barack Obama expressing to him in a 10-point plan how to go after, through the Internet, he called it 5G warfare, how to go after the adversaries on the social media, on Facebook, on Twitter, on the blogs. And his strategy number 10 was skip Limbaugh, skip the big shots, go after the little guys. Use social media because it's instant, and go after the small people to isolate them and pound them hard. That's not a quote, but that's basically what, you know, what was said. And so that is what I know. And when these people came on our show on Fan the Fire on Saturday night, I remembered that. And so I mentioned that to a couple of the bloggers, and one group agreed with me and thought that might be a strategy that they were employing. So it'll be interesting to see how this all shakes out. It's been percolating since the beginning of September. But today we saw basically
Tallulah, I've got a question for you.
Sure.
It's going to take me a minute to get this question out because I've got to lay some groundwork. You're an in-depth thinker, and I really appreciate you for that. You really look at the details and follow the trail. You know, it's not always follow the money. It's sometimes follow the breadcrumbs. And you do as good a job of following those breadcrumbs as anybody I know. So I've been looking at the breadcrumbs, and I'm seeing a pattern. That pattern
starts, as a genealogist and a researcher, you are always, you know, so many people when they're doing genealogy, they're looking at one surname back and father and mother and all that. You need to know, you need to study the whole clan in order to understand and move the family back. And so 20 years of that has helped as well.
Well, let me finish this.
Go ahead.
Paint this picture. I'm seeing, back about 18 months ago, I came across somebody in the Patriot Movement sent me to the ritual abuse site. And that site, man, was just loaded with stuff. I mean, it got me into Savali, who had been an Illuminati trainer, and talked about how she found Christ and removed herself from that, basically went underground and started doing interviews and started teaching people about this because she had been through all the MPD, multiple personality disorder, dissociative training methods, and she described all of that. Well, I also looked at the Greenbaum lecture, which really was done by a psychiatrist by the name of Hammond out of Utah at an international convention of psychologists and psychiatrists, and he described this Greenbaum system for disassociating people. And the interesting thing about it is that it was always like six or seven layers deep in the personality. Well, they do the same thing. They build these layers. If you think about the secret societies, you know, you can't just go two or three layers deep to get back to the source. You got to go multiple layers, six, seven layers back, in order to get to where the problems originated. And in all of these cases, in every one of these cases, it comes back down to a spiritual situation. If people don't believe we're in a spiritual battle, then they just aren't getting it, because
is
about, Red talks about this pecking order, and he talks about God being the top sovereign with the people under him, And then the Constitution and the government and et cetera comes down below. And the whole idea of reversing this pecking order, that's been the whole idea of all of these levels and systems that they've put into place and the subversion that they put into place. It's all to get God at the bottom of the pecking order and get Satan, get Lucifer at the top of that pecking order. And the whole idea, it's not about using a one-world religion to accomplish a one-world government. It's really about getting a one-world government to be ruled by the one-world religion, which with the false god of Lucifer at its head. And if you look at these patterns, if you look at these situations, you begin to see this pattern of these multiple layers. Because they're all about deception. Everything is deception. And they don't do it blatantly where you can just see it here. They build these stratums, if you will, of layers that the average person will never dig through. They may follow the crumbs back to two or three layers, but they're not going to follow it back six or seven layers. And they do that with all of this. And when we've got people just like Tom Cancredo in Colorado, who has now shown his true colors, who's been out there preaching like he's all for shutting down the borders and doing something about illegal immigration, yet he really hasn't done squat about it. He hasn't done a blessed thing about it. He's voted for TARP. He's done all these other things, but he's put himself out there in a radical way and inspired people's anger. And taking advantage of their ignorance to really what's going on, because they won't go three or four layers deep. They hear what he says, and they take him at his word. And because of that, they vote this man in. Conservatives, the very people who would, if they knew the truth, if they knew what was behind these layers, they wouldn't tolerate it for 2 seconds. But they don't go to the trouble to educate themselves or to do the research to get that deep into it. Now, what you're talking about here is a perfect example of that. And we got to start looking through these layers. And my question for you is, given what you know, because your level of knowledge is similar to Red and mine and many, many others that have been doing this research, you've got a perspective of this. What can you do that's effective? We started talking tonight about the 14th Amendment. And we've had all these guys coming on here that have done all this research, and they talk about removing themselves from being 14th Amendment citizens and not being a citizen of the United States, and that's their solution. And Red's got the one about fully informed jury associations and getting people educated so that they understand what their common law rights are and how to assert those rights in a court. You know, we've got all these different ideas, but none of them really seem to be getting us anywhere. Either because we can't reach a critical mass or because we don't have the means to get enough people educated. You know, there's all these roadblocks that have been put up by these multiple layers that they put into place. And they'll, you know, how do we get through that? What are you seeing as a solution to that?
I wish it were that easy, Terry. What I was really struck about was Red's comment tonight about being a lover of truth. And I think the truth eventually wins out. I wasn't born until after World War II. My father served in World War II. And it always was curious to me how a group of people, you know, as a student, we had to sit and learn about, you know, World War II and Korea and Japan and all that sort of stuff. And it was always baffling to me how a whole nation could blithely walk by while their friends and neighbors and their schoolmates were being hauled off to camps. And all I could think of was that there must have been such a shroud, such a fog put around them for whatever purpose. And I feel that our nation is that way with this whole abortion situation, and again with this blindness and adherence to something that goes against their own self-interests. The drive for liberty, the drive for truth, the drive for parental family unit, all of it is direct opposition to what is being promoted out there, and people are buying it like it's candy. I don't understand it. I can't explain it. All I can say is that, you know, the Lord is in control, and it's our duty to stand up and do the best to speak the truth and stand for what's right. I don't know there's an easy solution, but most importantly, it's to do what's right that we can do and to stand for truth and the Lord and Jesus. And but you're right, I do see things in patterns. I remember things that I've seen before. It's a very interesting way that the brain works in making those connections, and so it's been kind of a little bit of a blessing, I guess you'll say, to see that. Or maybe it's a curse, I don't know. But it looks to me like there's things that are coming forward soon, and I hope that the truth will out. I really pray that. I think that when people see it happening in their own communities, when they see it impacting themselves personally, then they say, okay, see, you know how little children are? They go to movies and they see a roadrunner jump off a cliff and fall to the ground and get hit by a rock and flattened out and then get up again and go and run again. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I think
what do we do when they come and threaten our children? You said it. They did this to incite. They did it to get somebody to try to get them to do something stupid.
Well, they made a very caustic, off-the-cuff remark about a patriot who, stupidly, I think, maybe not stupidly, but as a proud parent, put the photographs of two little boys as his avatar, which avatar is like a little icon that shows who you are on social media. And one of the people that was involved in this group said, I can't believe his kids are, well, for want of better word, attractive, romantically attractive. And yet these were little children, little children. And then, how can you, that was supposed to be a blowback. I think. Also, horrible, horrible statements made about Mother Mary. Horrible statements made about fetuses and death and what to do with aborted babies. Things that they knew would incite those of us that believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior and God Almighty, and abhor the desecration of human life going on today. All of the things that they thought were hot buttons, whether they planned it out or whether they did it just out of evil, I don't know. But it was meant to incite and meant to push the activists back and silence them. The answers, I wish I knew. I know I'm not going to be quiet. I'm going to continue speaking the truth. I'm going to continue doing what I can to stand up for what's right. Can anybody not do that?
Well, we've got to get more people to do it. I mean, there's just too few of us that are at this point willing to take them on. And we've got to take them on, and I think in multiple places. I really believe it comes back down to the same answer that Dr. Kate laid out, over a year ago, and that is it's going to take 1,000 cuts I don't think we can, and I think Red is correct that it's good that we're not organized all under one organization, because if we were, they would have an easy target.
Oh, absolutely. And there's a saying, Terry, I think it's in Japan, that the nail standing up gets pounded down, meaning go along, be part of the group, don't try to stand up above everybody because you're going to get pounded down. And that's the way they've done this, both with people that are standing up in the Tea Party, with people that are on broadcast television, and amongst the patriots. The idea is to humiliate them, use Alinsky's methods. Alinsky number 5 was to ridicule them. They did it to Sarah Palin. They've done it to Michelle Bachmann. They're doing it to Christine O'Donnell now. Especially they're picking on women right now, which is very interesting because they're supposedly primarily a feminine organization, the Democrats. But yet they have this vitriol for conservative women. They went after Jenny Beth Martin, who is one of the leaders of the Tea Party movement. They've gone after Chalice Jackson for trying to bring out legitimacy in the voting process in Illinois, her state. So they find somebody that's getting any traction, and it's attack, attack, attack with any methods possible. And they try, you know, Terry, yeah, I think I've heard of, you know, cultures in primitive societies where, I think it was in Africa, where they collect your fingernails, they collect your fingernail clippings, and then they do black magic against it. It's sort of as similar to that at a very, very base level, is trying to find anything and everything they can find out that might embarrass you or expose you to a great group of people. Because most people are private. They like their business private. They like to be the ones to share the information with others. And so by bringing this information out publicly, whether it's their grades in grade school or high school or college, whether it's their voting record, whatever they can find that they think works. They had to go back till Christine O'Donnell was 20 years old and dating somebody that was involved in metaphysical stuff, which I would never agree to anyway, but she did evidently, and was silly enough to broadcast it on Bill Maher's television program, and so he's been dripping this stuff out week after week after week. Anything that they can do to try to humiliate and silence the adversary is a technique that they've employed, and I won't even say it's just entirely Democrat. I think it's a human condition, don't you? It's wrong.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it is a human condition.
Because we are sinful. We have a sin nature. We want to win. And there is so much invested. The dynamics that I'm seeing right now, and this is my personal opinion, the dynamics that I'm seeing right now is that it is Washington, D.C. that is under attack right now by the citizens. They don't want either one of – they don't want the system. They don't want to get the old boss is the new boss type mentality. And so there's scrutiny now, like unlike I've ever seen before, as to who these representatives and these Congress people, senators, really are, just like you said about Tom Tancredo. I never knew that he was two-faced at all. When I think of Tom Tancredo, I think of anti-illegal immigration. I think of, you know, Constitution. I think of all that sort of thing, but I've not investigated him. He wasn't my congressperson. So, you know, I didn't know the in-depth things about him.
He came into the governor's race for one reason, and that was to defeat the Republican nominee. The Republican candidate that won the primary, who was a decent man, who is not a career politician, who is not a political insider, and he has slandered him. And his campaign is not to become governor. Tancredo's goal is not to become governor. He has stated that pointedly out of his own lips, that he does not expect to be governor. He's in this race to defeat Dan Mays, and the only reason that he could be in the race to defeat him is because they don't want the man having a position of power that they cannot control. They don't want him appointing judges that would actually be have any integrity, because some of them might end up going to jail. And they know that it would be difficult. Once he appoints those judges in, they're in there for 10 years. You can only vote them out. You can only vote them out. It's the only way you get rid of them for 10 years.
Well, the so only way that I think about this, Terry, is that it takes years and years and years to develop the Rolodex, if you will, and the associations necessary to be a real power player in politics, in much the same way that it would in any, you know, industry. It takes a while to develop relationships, strategic alliances with the people that can really make a difference, both in making your job better and more powerful and also getting you things easier. And these people that have gone to Washington, D.C. have developed this relationship with the people that are surrounding billions of dollars, which, you know, equals power, equals status, equals getting into the best restaurants, equals getting, you know, all the best, most, you know, important kudos towards you. It's all ego and power and being able to hold the money that taxpayers hold in your, that taxpayers pay to their government in your hand and dole it out as if it's your money.
Tallulah.
And be a kingmaker. And all of a sudden, these people are being threatened with removal. And that must be very scary to them, because they have, along the way, it's like a car, you know, when you get married, you got all those cans following behind. They've got all these associations, these strings hanging next to them of people that are not wanting to lose their connections and their access to power. So there's a lot of people being very nervous right now. That, I think, is playing another, just in my opinion, playing another big factor on both sides of the aisle.
Absolutely. Kate's online, and I want to let her get in here. I also want to give...
Oh, go ahead. I don't mean to take over the conversation at all.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on. That was a great conversation. I'd like to also give Red a couple of minutes to get something in here. Kate, you're live.
Oh, hi, everyone. And hi, Red. Nice to hear your voice. Hi, Tolu. Hi, Tanasi.
Hi.
Did you want me to wait for Red to get some...
Red, do you want to interject here, or you want to let Kate launch into what she wants to go into?
I'd rather listen to Kate than to myself.
There you go, Kate.
Oh, okay. Well, I'd rather listen to Red than to myself. Anyway, we had a really terrific show last night on Revolution Radio. Mario Opuzzo and Charles Kirshner were on to talk about their petition for writ of certiorari. And it was really a good interview, and I encourage everyone to go download the podcast. I won't repeat everything. But I just wanted to say it is just absolutely so clear the kind of battle we are in, not the spiritual one. That is definitely one that's there. But everything in this Kirchner case goes to the heart of our Constitution, including the whole issue of, the standing issue has been thrown out and thrown out and thrown out against us. And that is fundamental. The Constitution protects our individual rights. And it's not a collective right. It's our individual rights. So I believe that and many other elements of this case that have been brought forward, it's going to be hard if the Supreme Court, hard to see if the Supreme Court refuses to take the case. I mean, that to me is one of the seminal events that will just absolutely prove we're completely taken over and you know, all bets are off. So I just wanted to pass that on. So many of the arguments that were raised, even in this case, they mentioned Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lagan raising the whole issue of the chain of command. I don't think people understand how serious this is, Red or Terry. I think you probably feel the same way because, you know, if anybody who's out there right now who has a son or daughter or friend or husband or father or mother serving, you know, do you realize that the orders that they're serving under may be illegal? Wouldn't you want to know that before your child is killed or before they're dragged up to The Hague because the commander-in-chief is not eligible for the position? And it is outrageous. The extent to which people have looked at everything else besides this issue because it's fundamental. We have, yes, a lot of work to do, but protesting legislation, protesting these various things right now, even the Republicans coming up with their game plan, not a word about the fact that we have someone in the White House who's getting by on an electronic falsified document. And so forth. So I really encourage everyone to listen to the podcast, download the document because it will show you. It will show you we are right on the precipice. If the court does not take this case, the Supreme Court, like I say, all bets are off. That's just it. They basically are not following the Constitution. They all need to resign, and we all need to go. We all need to go there. If Terry Lakin is convicted, is court-martialed without a fair trial, under the rug, and sent to Fort Leavenworth, that too just means that the infiltration of the military is so deep. So this is really important right now. And in October. The decision is due in the Apuzzo case, Kirshner case, whether they're going to take it or not by November 3rd. Now, the government may try to delay it, but that's November 3rd. And Lakin's court-martial is November 3rd to the 5th. So it's peaking, if you will, and yet everyone's still looking at everything else. And, you know, granted, we have to, but these two cases, in my view, and you know, respectfully to everybody out there working on stuff, demand our immediate attention right now. And I'll be focusing a lot on it on the blog and also on Wednesday nights on Revolution Radio. So I'm very excited about that interview. I have a lot more to say, but I'll just leave it there for now and let you see if you have any questions or whatever.
Well, Red, I'm going to let you jump in here.
What I'm going to say is probably not what people want to hear. However, I think that I would recommend that everybody that has gotten in on this program tonight and of course, two or three of the others' programs over the last couple of 3 weeks. How much has Joe Sixpack out there, if he's been listening, how much of this will equip him to go out and be effective in teaching his fellow Americans how to be real Americans and patriotic Americans instead of just the false patriotism. We need to sort through all of this and say, well, now what can we use to educate the people. Now, I, back there in the 70s, I was able to, the money issue was a big issue with me, and of course, I would try to explain to my fellow Americans about the Federal Reserve Bank and what a crime was being committed against the American people, and I'd put them to sleep. Because it was beyond the comprehension of a public educated individual because they just couldn't handle it because of their limited intellect, which was the government was to blame for it as far as I'm concerned. I found that if I went out and talked about the income tax, I had people's attention right now. I didn't put people to sleep. And what I said was, I said, do you folks recognize where the IRS gets its power? Where does the IRS get its power? Now, we've all heard the Tea Party people saying, well, we've got to take our country back. We've got to take our country back. That shouldn't be the call. It should be, when am I going to take my power back as individuals? Because that's what makes a republic, is when the people operate and exercise their power with as individuals. And so from that point on, I used the Internal Revenue Service as my... the way of getting the attention, getting into the head of the common man out there, which I am part of his group. I'm just a simple guy out here. I'm a working man. And when I talk taxes, I've got their attention. And when I explain to them that the IRS didn't get their power from the Congress, they didn't get their power from the district courts, and they didn't get it from the appellate courts, and they didn't get it from the U.S. Supreme Court. They got it from 12 ignorant, miseducated Americans that were never taught about how much power that they hold in their hands if they know about the power. They have to know that it's there. They have to know that it is available. But they've got to get their minds straightened out a little bit. And, you know, I look across the patriot movement in this country, and I look across the abortion people, and I've tried my best to reach the abortion people with the power of the individual, and it hasn't worked. It just hasn't worked, and so I don't say this bragging, but I don't think there's anybody in the patriot movement out there that has reached the number of people that my books and my videos and such have had the effect that they've had on multitudes of people. We had a very significant trial back in Billings, Montana, back about 10 years ago, a little over that now. And there was an elderly couple. They were like 79 and 83 years of age, and they had this tremendous ranch up in, north and east of Billings, Montana. And they must have had 50 to 100 sections of land, and, you know, we've all heard of Agenda 21, and, well, this was part of the scam. They, on this ranch, they had several hundred head of cattle, and they had several thousand head of sheep, and so they go up there, and the feds do, and they try to make a case and say that these people have been shooting eagles that have been going after their lambs. And they went up there with a paramilitary force, helicopters, everything, armored cars. They had the whole works. Oh, they had a big write-up in the paper what awful people these were. These people had spent their life, and they had no heirs, and so the whole thing was that they were going to steal that ranch, and it was going to become part of this Agenda 21 thing that they've got in mind. And so they finally brought this to trial. It took some time, but there was an attorney that had some guts and had some smarts, and he was able to force with legal maneuvers and such to bring this to trial. And when it went to trial, we had two people on that jury that I knew had been informed, that had been educated. One of them, I had never met the man. I don't think he was ever in one of our meetings. I don't know if he ever read one of my books. But one of the people that had become involved with us in and learning this had relayed the information to this individual. And the individual was smart enough to recognize what he heard as being the truth. And so the government lost, and they lost big time. And attorney for this couple, they filed action against the assistant U.S. attorney, and they filed for damages. And they won. They won in court because it was so overwhelming. The evidence was so overwhelming. Now, how are you going to get Joe Sixpack out here that you're rubbing elbows with every day? You're rubbing elbows with him. What is there that you can use where you can reach that mind? And get into their heads, and explain to them how that we have to take our power back as individuals. The IRS didn't get their power from the courts and such. They got it from 12 Americans who had had their brains tampered with in government schools. This is a message that we can get across to Joe Sixpack out there. And that's the key to whether we're going to win this or not. And I'll shut up with that because we're getting close to time to run out. Our time is about to run out on us.
We've got about 2 minutes, Red. And my only concern at this point is that we seem to be losing ground in spite of more people being educated. And I believe the reason for that is that we're not willing to put our money where our mouth is. We don't have a cable network. We don't have a satellite. We don't have Radio Free Europe we don't have whatever it is that's going to communicate to a massive enough a number of people. We don't have control of any media source where we can access enough people. And I believe that is the biggest problem that we've got right now.
No, I don't think so. I think the biggest problem is we don't have
spiritual.
We don't have enough people using the right message to reach their fellow American.
Well, the God issue comes into it too.
We'll have to get onto this subject again. Another program.
Indeed. I really appreciate you, Red. You always bring us back down to earth, if you will. And but I believe it's important for people to understand and to start looking through these layers. I really do. And recognizing that the whole deception is to diminish the deity of Christ. That's really their ultimate goal, because if they can do that, then they can get people to worship a false god. And I appreciate all of our listeners. The chat room has been really active tonight. Great chat, great guest. I wish RJ had a better phone connection. Cholula, thanks for coming on. Kate, thanks for bringing your report from last night as well. Red, I just love you a lot, brother, and you have a great week, and And God bless all of you.
Who told the ocean on the husks around me till my strength was almost gone. Long my soul.
Let mercy follow me. Everyone.